carols and focusing on the meaning of those carols. And today, I want to take a carol that we haven't even sung over this Christmas time, and I want to take some words from that carol and preach them today. I want to take the carol Away in a Manger. Everybody say Away in a Manger. And I want to kind of change it a little bit, but let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 6 to 11. And we've spent a lot of time in Luke chapter 2. Yesterday we were there as well. But Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through to 11 says this: "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I want to take just a few moments to speak on this title, The Way in a Manger. The Way in a Manger. Everybody say that. The Way in a Manger. So the song says, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head." There's one little portion of that I want to take. It's the words, "the little Lord Jesus." The little Lord Jesus. Unfortunately, as a pastor today on Christmas Day, with a job of challenging you and bringing us back to the true meaning of Christmas, unfortunately, focusing on these words, the little Lord Jesus, might do us a disservice. I guess you could say that much of the world only pictures a little baby Jesus. But this song tells us a little bit more, that he was more than just a baby. He was the little, yes, at that time, but he was the little Lord Jesus. There's a big difference when you put the word Lord in there. Not just the little Jesus, but the little Lord Jesus. Verse 11 of our text says that "For unto you is born in the city of David, which is Christ," everybody say, "the Lord." And so Jesus isn't just a sweet little 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. There's so much more to Jesus than that. And so rather than focusing on the size of the baby, today I want to take a few moments to focus on the lordship of that little baby. Jesus, my point today is simply this: Jesus is Lord. Can everybody say that? Jesus is Lord. And so at the very beginning of the story, it is established when Jesus is born that yes, he is the Savior of the world, but yes, he is Christ the Lord. And so when we talk about Jesus being Lord, we've got to ask ourselves, if Jesus is Lord, then what does that mean for me in everyday life? What does that mean for me? If I'm married, the fact that Jesus is Lord, what does that mean to our marriage? If you're planning on getting married, James and Matthew at the back there, if you're planning on getting married, and I know they are, what does it mean that Jesus is Lord? And if you're at school, young people, what does it mean that Jesus is Lord? For the rest of today, the rest of Christmas Day, as we celebrate it, what does it mean, the fact that Jesus is Lord? For the rest of our life, what does that mean, that Jesus is Lord? You see, the word Lord is the Greek word kurios. And I don't know if I'm saying it right. I've got a Greek sitting in the second row, a scholar he is, and maybe I got it wrong. But the word Lord is the Greek word kurios. And that word Lord means the supreme in authority. Everybody say supreme. That means that he's the controller. It means that he is the owner of everything. So when we say that he is the little Lord Jesus, when we put that word Lord there, we're saying that he is the supreme authority. It says that he is the controller. It says that he's in charge of everything. Everybody say the boss. Now, if Jesus is the supreme authority, and if Jesus is the controller, then let me say it like this. Today, I think he's got a little bit of competition. And as our brother David just said, he's probably got a little bit too much competition. Because, and some would say, well, why? Who's the competition? And who? Who is the competition that would challenge the lordship of Jesus and his supreme authority and the fact that he's the boss and he's in control? Let me tell you who the greatest competition to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's us. Because we like to be in control. If we don't mind being a Christian, we don't mind coming to church, we don't mind singing the songs, but we just don't want Jesus to mess with our life too much. We want to be in control, and we would like to inject Jesus where we want him. And so I ask you today, is Jesus Lord of your life? Is he in control? Is he the supreme authority? The little, don't get mixed up with the little. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 to 18 says this of Jesus. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image. Everybody say the image. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, that is Jesus, all things are created by him, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And let's read those next six words together. And by him all things consist. He holds it all together. Yes, the little Lord Jesus. By him all things consist. If he was to relinquish his control, the world would spin into chaos. He holds all the atoms together. He holds all the neutrons together. He holds all the electrons together. He holds your very being together. The little, don't get mixed up with the little, because you've got to inject the most important word, the little Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colin Buchanan sings a song, Jesus must be top of the list at Christmas. Not just at Christmas. He must be top of the list all the time. Why? Because he's not just the little baby Jesus. He's the little, everybody say Lord, Lord Jesus. And so by him, all things consist. You know, he really is in control. And so I ask you today again, is Jesus the Lord of your life? And so technically today, none of us can make Jesus Lord, because it doesn't matter if you make him Lord or not. He's Lord anyway. That's just who he is. He's in control. By him, all things consist. So what you think of Jesus doesn't change who he is, but he is already Lord, and we don't have any power to make him Lord. But what we do is we surrender to what he already is. We relinquish control. And there's that old song that says, Jesus, take the wheel. You see, too many times, we want Jesus to be our co-pilot. But he doesn't make a very good co-pilot. You've got to get to that point in your life where you realize that it's not enough just to have him sitting in the passenger seat, but you've got to relinquish, take your hands off the wheel and say, Jesus, I'm getting in the passenger seat and I want you to be control in my life because you are the Lord. And by you, all things consist. And so there's some Christians that we have a partially surrendered life. I believe today that there's much more devotion to Jesus in parts of the world where the persecution is so much more intense. People are devoted. But here in Australia, we find so many people that I would call casual Christians or maybe even this word cultural Christians. One person once called the Christians of Australia practical atheists. In other words, we believe in God, but we live like he doesn't exist. A practical atheist. And Jesus said this. He said, why do you call me, throw that next slide up, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? I think he was talking to Australian Christians, cultural Christians, casual Christians. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you give me lip service? I don't want lip service. I want life service. I want your life. I want you to be surrendered. I don't want a bunch of talk. I just don't want the talk, but I want you to walk the walk. And why is it that you can call me Lord, but do whatever you want? Obviously, Jesus is saying, you don't understand what Lord means. I want to be in control. But the reality is for many people, as we say, I believe in Jesus, but I want to be in control. I know that I meant to trust God with everything, but not really everything, surely. And when it comes to relationships, I know Jesus says that I'm meant to pray for those that hurt me and for those that persecute me, but I'm not exactly sure that I can make him Lord of that part of my life. And I know that Jesus says that we ought to forgive those that trespass against us. But you know, after what they did to me, and there's no way that I can forgive. I'll forget. I maybe not even forget, but I'm just not ready to let Jesus be Lord over all my life. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Mark chapter 8 verse 34-38 says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Everybody say, deny myself, take up my cross and follow Jesus. For whosoever will save his life, the people that try to save their life, the Bible says they're going to lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, if you're willing to surrender your life to Jesus, the Bible says you are losing your life for the sake of Jesus and the Gospels, that you will save it. And so this tells us, if you try to keep it, you'll lose it. But if you lose it, you'll keep it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There is so much biblical truth in some of the carols that we sing. The little Lord Jesus. Get your eyes off the little. He was only little for a while. But I tell you that Jesus means business. He is the Lord. And so I encourage you to have a fully surrendered life to Jesus. Make him Lord over every part of your life. Not just a Christian when it's convenient, but a Christian all the time. Our life does not belong to us. Paul said it like this in Romans 14, verse 7-8. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Paul said, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, who do we belong to? We are the Lord's. Our life belongs to Jesus. Whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. And our life is all about honoring Jesus, about making him Lord. And if we live, it's to honor the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. So Paul says, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 says this about our bodies and our life. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to Jesus. He is your Lord. He is the supreme authority, not just a little baby in a manger, but he is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the creator of all things, and by him all things consist. And some people, they're so casual in their faith. Why? Because Jesus is just a little 6-pound, 8 baby Jesus. They have the idea that Jesus is my buddy. He's my co-pilot. Jesus isn't just a little baby in a manger. He is the soon returning, conquering, reigning, ruling, supreme in authority. He's coming back to this earth with a sword. He's coming back with a name written on it that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. I've come to tell you that my Jesus means business. He may have been a little baby in a manger, but he was the creator of heaven and earth, and he's coming back for his church. You ought to make him Lord of your life. You ought to make him the supreme authority. The Bible says this of the second coming of Jesus. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not only those that give me lip service, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. Oh, then I will profess, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You see, the little Lord Jesus, he was, and maybe they made a mistake in giving the title to this message, because I don't really get why they said away in a manger. Maybe it just got lost in translation. What does it mean to be away in a manger? Maybe someone said the title of the song is going to be The Way in a Manger. And the person had a little bit of a hearing problem and wrote Away in a Manger. Because Jesus is not a way. He's not a way. He's God with us. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. He is the way in a manger. And so I challenge you today to make Jesus the Lord of your life. He is the chief cornerstone, the Bible says. And so in these days where we tend to be so superficial about things, let me tell you, don't just be a Christian on the outside, but let Jesus be Lord of your whole life. Obey his word. Build your life on the words. Build your life on the word of God. Build your life on the teachings of Jesus Christ. And make him Lord. Make him Lord. He is the way in a manger. Let's all stand here today. Praise God. I want you to remember that, because that's a very, very challenging message for a Christmas day. We had the nice message for the children, but for us parents, we need to be reminded that he is the Lord Jesus, and he is the supreme authority. He is the controller of everything. So right now, I ask you just to raise your hands across this place. Raising of the hands is a universal sign of surrender. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, Lord, you came to this earth to die for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you saw us, Lord God, that your blood that was shed at Calvary flows down 2,000 years and still washes us clean. We thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you are a way maker, Lord God. When we submit to you and make you Lord of our life, Lord God, when we allow you to control our life, as your word says, when we lose our life in you, that it is there that we will truly find it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence that we feel in this place today. We thank you for every family that is represented here. Lord Jesus, I pray as we go back to our homes, as we go to our friends' houses, as we go to be with other family, Lord God, that your presence would be with us. Lord God, that Lord, we would have opportunities to tell of the real reason for Christmas. Help us over this Christmas and holiday season, oh God, to be wonderful examples of what a true Christian is. Lord, help us not to get caught up in the cultural Christianity or the casual Christianity of this world, but help us to surrender every part of our life to you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God.